Burn that rubber like I'm Michelin. Five star food that I dish to them. Chef sat on when I whip in the kitchen, and I switch suits like I'm Mr. Ben.
10-10 gear, I shift up to fifth. Blues in the rear and I'm swerving the mains like Tokyo Drift. Took a shot, but he missed. Then made love to the grin and kissed
the curb. What's the word? I dodge your case, so I flip the bird. Grab the bin, get back to work. Then I'm switching lanes and I flex out
hurt. I'll hurt him. One thing's for sure and two things for certain. When he gets made and the packs I'm serving him, mess with a cake and I bet him a burger.
Welcome back to the Wobble Fraggy Do podcast. I am Olu Jimmy, joined today by Mr. Francis.
Hello.
And the man who loves to introduce himself.
Hey, El Maestro, you already know. Nostradamus, John Wick. Still that nigga, wicked, wicked, wicked. Hmm? Let's get it.
Drop and give me 50. Anyways, in case you're under the rock or you don't know what's going on in the world of hip hop, like, there's apparently like a Thanos level war going on right now. Everyone against Drake, 20v1. But before we get into actually like the Kendrick and the Drake part, I just wanted to see what you guys thought about J. Cole putting out a diss track and then 2 days later apologizing and then actually removing the diss track from the internet. Like, you can, if you don't already have it downloaded and saved, you can't get that track anymore on streaming. I guess I'll start with you, Larry. Do you think it was weak, or do you agree with him like it was disturbing his peace?
You know what? Disturbing his peace. I actually wonder what Francis thinks, because Francis strikes me as the person that doesn't like J. Cole on a normal day. Like, they don't. I've seen what Francis dabbles in when it comes to hip hop.
He said, "I've seen what."
You know, it's like getting a glimpse into somebody's search history. You know, you see it living in their life.
So, I want Google would like to have a word.
What's going on? You know? Like, where did my name come from?
Huh? Anyway, I think, man, I it's tough. It's tough. Today I logged into YouTube and the first video I saw was a video with the tagline, "Is therapy ruining hip hop?" And I'm like, this must be what it is. This must be it. Like, maybe a lot of people are going to therapy and they're talking about your peace. This nigga said, you know what? There was a nigga, not was, because he's still alive. There's a nigga that owes me a substantial amount of money that I found out was running the streets, living loud and living large.
Don't you hate that when someone takes a trip and they owe you money?
When J. Cole put out that he couldn't sleep, I had to go and message this nigga that, how can you sleep when J. Cole can? I swear, like, that's something that actually happened.
You did that?
Yes. I'm like, how can you sleep when J. Cole can? You know? But nah, that aside, I just think it was weak. I don't even like saying weak. So it's one of two things. If you don't want to get in the fire, don't do it at all.
Right? Yeah.
And so that means you either didn't plan out, because it's such a, there's so many things you can do. You can decide that you don't want to, you just, like, everything you already said. So you said, you know, I'm taking it off streaming. If Kendrick still wants to diss me, I put my chin out today for you to take your best shots. Ugh. Anyway,
I know.
All I of know. That you could have done without taking the song down. You could have even done without saying anything, right? Like, what you said was very tame, and you're talking about I dissed my brother.
Yeah, and I think that's the part where he lost me. I'm like, you didn't even say anything that warrants you losing sleep over. Like, what did you say?
What did you say? And what has this guy been saying? And more importantly,
the last 2 years he's been calling everyone out, saying, "Oh, I bet no, I wish no a nigga would come at me." You know, for the past 2 years, that's all he's been talking about. And thank you for someone who actually listens to Drake and J. Cole a lot. Like, I listen to him a lot. So, like, I know that's what he's been saying for the last 2 years.
Every verse he says, if I diss you, I'm going to make sure you know. Like, what's that thing about, like,
flashlight? I know what you're talking about.
Like, all he said for the last, this is the energy I'm on. Test me. So, and the thing is, to be honest, the only people that you can test you are the people that are in those positions, like Drake and Kendrick. Because you are saying I'm the best. You are the one that came up with the big
three. No, he's the one that said big three. He said it's the big three, but I'm Muhammad Ali. Like, that's his line.
You know, he's the one that was pushing this narrative of big three. Like, Kendrick or Drake weren't pushing for a big three. So when your moment comes, when everything that you've talked about comes to a head, and you start talking about your peace, and you are not working in your path and your light and your bro, like, what are we talking about? You're talking like you're killing somebody for real. Like, this is music. This is the music that you've told us that you make the best. So I don't know. I wish I had it in me to feel more sympathetic about his mental health. But it's just like, okay, you know what? At least you declared yourself ineligible. Just go and fall to the side. Let's not hear from you. You know, all of this stuff that he's talking about, he's been talking about the fall off. Like, this has been a build to the fall off. I cannot think of a worse rollout than exactly what he just did. To be fair, I wouldn't have been mad at him at all if he didn't release anything. If he released that, my delete later, and it didn't have anything inside to talk about him. But it would be like, okay, maybe he has something, some other, or maybe Drake has told him, guy, fall back, let me handle this, you know?
But no, I don't think so. I don't think so. Because even Drake said in his push-up, saying like, that thing Cole did was whack, man.
I don't think he said that. He just said, fuck,
no, he said
fuck
what Cole
said. No, he said, fuck what Cole says, that your project was whack. You know, like how Cole was backtracking, like, oh no, who thinks that this album was
okay, I see what you're saying.
Fuck all that of your shit was actually whack. And I mean, I don't know if anybody here has heard Mr. something.
I heard it when he first came. You know what's funny? Like, I actually listened to all three of his niggas in rotation, which is funny. I heard, but the thing about Kendrick compared to maybe Cole to a lesser extent and Drake is that, like, the ease at which you can listen to their songs, right? I don't have to be in a particular, like, with Drake. I can just, you know, I can pop Drake all day or every day, you know, and I'm good, right? Mm-hmm. But with Kendrick, I think you have to be in the same, like, you have to put yourself in that mindset of, okay, this is what I'm going to listen to. But anyway.
Which mindset? Kendrick is, the difference between Drake and Kendrick is the E, right? Drake, you call him an artist. Kendrick, you call him an artist. You know, those niggas, they're talking about mindset. What are you, a motivational speaker? I tried to listen to it. I'm just like his last album, was it Dem? I think that was the name of the album, Dem, right?
No. Mr. Morale, Big Step or something like that.
No, the one before that.
Yeah, that was Dem.
Yeah, that one was like, bro, you didn't need to be in your mind space. It had like, what do you need? It had whatever you need. It had Be Humble. It had Loyalty. It had Love. It had all these songs were Good Kid, Mad City, Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe, like all these. It's the difference between like Good Kid, Mad City and How to Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah.
And so I kind of agree. Like, I feel like people make let me not say nobody. I don't know this for a fact, but I don't know anybody that's saying that's my favorite album. And I'm sure there are people like that, but it's not like it came out. It came out to critical acclaim, and I've heard there was an analyst or somebody that was saying that that's one of the greatest albums in hip hop history. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, man! Like, which song?
Well, I think that's what Drake is saying, though. Like, they gas your shit because they hate to see me late. Like, it's like you know what I'm saying? They're putting your stuff up there as high so that way they can just discredit me. But anyway,
I think so. I think that some of that way is like it's just confusing enough that it can still be eclectic and be like of the higher, like you don't get it and everybody wants to get it. Get the fuck out, man.
Well, Francis has been quiet. Francis, what do you think? Are you, number one, I should probably ask you, do you listen to J. Cole? Francis?
Not really.
Surprise, surprise.
I don't, J. Cole, Kendrick, those kind of guys, they're not really my cup of tea.
What did I do?
What did I say? Man's taking a victory lap.
It's like this whole, this conversation with Drake, Rick Ross, I don't even know where it came from. I don't know what caused it. I don't know where it's going. To be honest, I don't even know who's beefing. hear guys are releasing music.
Francis, you don't listen to Future, do you?
Francis loves Future, though. Like, remember when Francis used to quote Future now. Toxic King. Okay,
Let him answer.
I'm confused. What's your question? Do I listen to Future?
Yeah,
I listen to Future.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, no, Larry, you must be misremembering, man. Francis used to quote Future.
Francis is gone. I've never heard Francis quote Future.
Jibo, Future is not really, maybe not really on our United group. Maybe it's on the Mandem group.
Okay, but maybe that's
I listen to Future.
So you didn't listen to the album with Metro?
I did now. Like Metro Boomin's album with Future.
Yeah, so then how can you say you don't know where this is coming from now? If you listen to the album, then you heard the Kendrick thing, you heard like all the other songs.
Yeah, I understand it, but my point now is who is on whose side? Because I know there's Drake beefing Rick Ross and
there's J. Cole. Side.
Oh, what's the side?
It's Drake and then there's everybody else.
Yeah. So J. Cole is against Drake.
J. Cole is out. Entirely.
Okay, J. Cole is out of it. Kendrick Lamar, who's Kendrick Lamar beefing? Is he beefing Drake or is he beefing J. Cole?
He's going to fire at both of them probably.
I thought J. Cole was also beefing Kendrick.
Well, that's what he has been insinuating for a minute now, to be fair to what Francis is saying. J. Cole has been kind of like shooting jabs at Kendrick, low-key.
Yeah, so that's why I'm not sure who's fighting who. At first, I thought it was Drake. Everyone was against.
Okay, so that part is correct. It's basically, so everyone you see on that album, maybe except for J. Cole, is against Drake, because that's what that album is. That album is just basically anyone that doesn't fuck with Drake. Because even in the part two, A$AP was like, oh, y'all should have put me on the first one. Like, you know, it was giddying up. So to answer your question, is everybody who was featured on that album is against Drake? Rick Ross on the album?
And that's a way of showing you that they have picked the side, right?
Yeah.
So Metro is signed to or managed by the same people that manage The Weeknd.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you notice, I heard the second album first. I heard the second album on Friday, and then I went back and I listened to a little bit of the first album. And you actually hear a lot of The Weeknd on that album. Not clearly, like not like in a way where it's featuring The Weeknd, but if you hear like somebody singing in the background, you hear a lot of Weeknd harmonizing. So Weeknd is on the album. His manager is the guy that manages
Cash.
Manages Metro. Obviously Metro and Future have a very strong relationship. Future and The Weeknd have a strong relationship. So those three are the three that are really driving everything. Right.
And I thought Future had a good relationship with Drake.
Yes.
We all did too though.
But once he and Metro said we don't trust you, and they started using hashtag pick a side, they are letting you know this is their own side. Like now.
Or hashtag the biggest three.
Yeah. So they are letting you know this is where we stand. So now everybody that is on their album is showing you that they are picking a side by virtue of the fact that they are on the album. Right? That's why there's no 21 Savage on the album, for example. So it's not everybody that is on the album that this is Drake overtly, but Kendrick does. And when Kendrick does, it's now like, oh, you now realize that, okay, when we talk about if Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. Like, all those things, now they are coming back to you to say, okay, we don't trust you. Like, we don't trust you, Drake. And so we've picked a side, this is it, and everybody here is against you now. So he now comes out with his own diss track where he's going at. He gives The Weeknd a couple of lines. He gives Metro one line.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the most disrespectful ones. Like, you compile two albums, and all he had for you was just shut the fuck up and make some beats.
Make some beats, some drums. And then
I beg, what's the name of the song that Drake is saying all these things on?
Push Up.
Is it Push Up? Is it like Apple Music? I don't think so.
But there's a few names out there because, like, it's not officially, like, it's like a leak. And I think...
But I'll send it to you. Don't worry. I'll send it to you.
I think the reason why...
I think I've seen it. Yeah. It's like a video on Twitter or something.
No, YouTube. Yeah, that one. But it's YouTube has, like, the full song. Mm. Yeah. But, nah, it's going to be a fun time.
So where did Recross come from?
I don't know.
We don't know. Rick Ross has his own song. In the song, he says that he unfollows Drake because
he sent a cease and desist.
Drake did a nose job and he did a BBL with 24% body fat.
I don't even know. Like, he says that. He said Drake did a nose job, said he did his abs, and that's why at his concert he's wearing those
bulletproof padded or something. Yeah.
Something,
sure. Yeah, but if that's what
you think, the one that we're waiting for.
I know. I'm like, nobody wants to hear that from you, Rick Ross, man.
But it's kind of weird because, like, a lot of these guys, their biggest hit are with Drake.
Yeah,
like, The Weeknd, you know, every one of them, Lamar, I won't say Kendrick Lamar's biggest hit, but one of his first number ones was with Drake.
Right? Yeah,
like one of the things that, like, Marvin's Room. Is it Marvin?
Poetic Justice.
No, there's a song they have on Take Care. It's not Marvin's Room. It's a song I think after Marvin's Room.
It's Marvin's Room.
Is it Marvin's Room? Okay.
Yeah. So Marvin's Room, like, kind of the beat switches at the end, and then he harmonizes, when Kendrick comes in.
That's when Kendrick comes in. They went on tour together. Obviously, he's the one that gave the song to, what's his name, ASAP Rocky for Problems. That also,
that's true. That was a Drake song. Yeah,
you know, Future, like, they have an album together. They have
Future and Recross. Like, I don't want to hear from both of those guys, like, to be honest with you. And ASAP, like, the only person I want to hear from is either J. Cole or. And J. Cole has removed himself from the top three because he refused to diss. So basically, I'm just waiting for Kendrick because I know Kendrick is going to come back, but I guess we'll see how this goes. But I also feel like also a lot of people are just overgassing Kendrick too at the same time. But anyways, let's move on. This is to show the state of Manchester United.
One last thing before we move to these reds. I think it's going to be so. At the beginning, I was talking about Kendrick. The fact that I don't necessarily relate to that Mr. Stepper's album doesn't mean that I don't think this guy can rap. Like, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Come out with something, and the more I look at it, the more I feel like this is something that has been brewing for years. When I say brewing, I don't even mean like, oh, they knew that this moment was going to come, but I almost feel like the plan, like, you have, like, okay, a 5-year plan, and you say, okay, at the end of this time, I want to do this, right? And what do I want to be able to assemble all the things I need to get to this point? So I feel like they either have songs already created or information that they want to leverage. Like, I think there's a lot of information that's going to come out of this. I don't think it's just going to be like, let's focus on bars. Like, let's just...
No, I agree with you.
Who do you think comes out the victor in all of this?
I don't know. Because they're both good men.
Yeah.
I think Drake is Thanos, man.
Oh, no. I think Drake is inevitable. Like, in terms of, like, even if he... like, you know, quote unquote loses, I don't think that's really gonna, like, do anything to Drake.
No. I think it does. I think
why do you say that?
Okay, so there are two ways to look at this. I think he has the most to gain, right? Because
Drake.
Yes, the way that it was shaping up initially was not going to be the best for him, because initially it was going to be Kendrick versus J. Cole and Drake. And so Kendrick was going to win no matter what. Not win, but he wasn't going to lose, I guess, because you can easily say that two of you that are very good artists are going up against this one guy.
Yeah, but the same is happening with Drake right now, though.
Which that's my point. So J. Cole bowing out, and now other people coming in actually helps Drake a lot. Because
well, I know. No oh, I see what you're saying.
Drake yeah. versus Kendrick. It's now All Stars versus Drake, right? And so it makes it hard. Like, even in this song, you can tell that, like, he focuses on Kendrick. The song is for Kendrick. But
for everybody else, yeah. And that's, yeah, I kind of almost want him to just focus on Kendrick. But like I said, like, the fact
but that... everybody that comes out with something, he has to yeah. not respond to, but he has to give you some bars. So I think, again, it makes it skewed in a way where even if one of the
you can't
four
really
or five
tell, yeah.
give him like bars, like a very, very good song, it's very hard to count him out, because it's like, how many people can I really respond to? So say Future and Metro come out with some new jam, and the jam is hard, and it's still kind of like, is he going to respond here? Is he going to respond here? So as long as he keeps a certain level of quality in the music that he puts out in the battle, I think he has the most to. But I also think Kendrick probably has some fire that's coming, because
yeah, I know.
Yeah, by all accounts, it's not something that bubbled today. Like, he's been sitting on some stuff for a long time, and Kendrick has been going at Drake for years. Like, if you think about it, when Control Verse came out, right, he dissed these guys and didn't reply to anybody. A lot of people had song replies. A$AP Rocky put his on, Meek Mill. He mentioned different names. Everybody said something. Drake didn't say anything, and he never responded. And since then, he steadily talked about, like, he'll come subliminal Drake and then go, subliminal, and you don't hear from him. So now I feel like this is a moment where they're like, okay, I don't have an album coming out. You don't have an album coming out. This is, we're going to go back and forth now and figure out. So I think this is round one. See how it goes.
Yeah, see how it goes. I think, just before we move on, because even I think Drake said something along the lines that there's a song that Kendrick has, a diss song that has been 4 years in the making or something like that. So to lend to what you were saying, that this is something that has been planned for a minute.
Oh, okay. He said that. Yeah. I didn't even know. Yeah.
Yeah, he said. Yeah, he said in one. I can't remember where he said it. Like, yeah, like it took. Yeah, that. And I think that's what they're trying to do with this push up song. Is like they want him to show his hand, right? Like, okay, drop what you have, because I've responded to you now, the boy's in your court.
And I think if you are Drake, because of what you've already gone through with Pusha T, where you thought you were in a rap battle and Pusha T was like,
nah, I'm here to disrespect you, my G.
Yeah, Pusha T was the other thing. Like, Pusha T talked about 40 dying, your mom seeing the child that nobody knew even existed. The shock value was just too much.
Yeah.
This one, I think at the time, he couldn't match the level of disrespect, so he just had to pull out. With this one, I think he's more ready to be a villain if he needs to. Like you said, because of the number of people that are against him, he can't talk crazy. Even on this song, I feel like he's letting them know, like, this is just a warm-up. Like, the part where he talks about Travis Scott, and he's not Travis Scott, he says the shit you guys did on Rolling Loud, that was slick.
Yeah,
something about, you know,
like it'd be different if your BM start talking or something like that, trying to insinuate that maybe Future
or even himself
that's
has
true.
Been with so you get, like, and I think a lot of these things are probably over women. I mean, I don't know if that's
isn't that how most things start?
It's women of money, so
the power of the PUSSY.
So I can imagine how many people are ready to sing like canaries, you know, to provide information.
anyways, the battle for top six, maybe not top seven, continues.
Top five is going to get to Champions League this year, because I'm hearing that top five might not be enough anymore. So,
well, it depends on how the English teams do in the Champions League, right? And as far as I'm concerned, like, there are two teams
it's left. It's not just right? Champions League. Look at what Liverpool is doing now.
Oh, in Europa too. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And they lost to an Italian team, because I think it's going to come down to either the Italian team, the English teams, or the Spanish teams. I think it's going to get the additional spot. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see.
And shout out to Arsenal and Liverpool laying fucking eggs this week. I was on. Let me give a shout out to Clubhouse. The Francis, what's the name of the Clubhouse group again? Does it have a name?
What's the name of the what?
The Clubhouse.
Banter.
Yeah, I was there last week telling them that they should watch out for Man City. Everybody said Maestro being Maestro. Not even a week later, Man City is now ahead on the table. We'll see now. These are the same.
That's crazy, though. Like, how quick they've gone to number one.
Bro, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. They were 3 points ahead. Now they are 2 points ahead. 3 points behind, sorry. Now they are 2 points ahead. These boys are not built for the running.
Yeah, it would appear so, man. It's disappointing, though, because, you know, I really don't want City to win four in a row, but looks like it's an inevitable at this point. Anyways, back to the game between Bournemouth and Man United. We were away to Bournemouth. The game ended 2-2. Nothing new under the sun. Midfield is still as open as ever. Every time they try and counter us, or we lose the ball up front, there's just tremendous space. What else happened? What else is new? I can't remember. Garnacho gave the ball away for the first goal, and then what's his name? The defender, young defender, slipped. And Cholanke is what I call him. Cholanke scored, and who else scored? I can't remember. Bruno scored two goals, two tap-ins. One is a penalty, and then another wonderful goal by Justin Kluivert. At this point, I think I only watched the first half, but what I was watching, like, I think we already gave up like around 10 shots in the first half already, and it's just like, we sound like a broken record at this point when it comes to United. So, Francis, I'll start with you first. Any takeaways from this team, or this is just what to expect going forward?
Just go play the last episode. Just play it all over again. Same shit.
I guess I do want to ask you, though, like, I don't understand this trend of him all of a sudden then substituting Garnacho. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, but he gave an explanation for that now. To be honest with you, I could care less about what ETH does. But he said Garnacho didn't train all week. If he didn't train all week, then...
Why did you start him?
Is it desperation that is making you play him? Or can't you play someone else? You know, I hear Anthony then... Well, Anthony was not in the squad because once he realized who was starting, he got angry and he left or some stuff like that. And if Garnacho had not played all week or trained all week, and then all of a sudden he's in starting 11, of course I'd be mad as well. But it is what it is. Garnacho, removing him or leaving him on, it would not make change anything. I think the outcome is we're still a terribly coached team.
Wait, hold on. Is that true? What you just said about Anthony, I didn't hear that part of.
Yes, now I saw it. You know, he was not in the squad yesterday.
Yeah, I was wondering.
People said that maybe he missed. He had a late fitness test that he didn't pass. But I'm reading from some of my sources once they announced the squad, I think the night before or something, he left. He said he's not playing or some like that.
Yeah, that's like this.
Allegedly.
Wow. You know.
How did we get to this point, though? Like, it's crazy.
Bro, we've been at this point for years.
I know, but like, it just seems like almost every other week, it's like a new low. I don't even know. Like, it's just crazy. Like, yeah, this man. Team. there's no way forward. Like we can't compete against Bournemouth. Like, think about that.
Anyways, I mean, we competed. We just can't beat Bournemouth, right?
Yeah, but I guess, yeah.
It's, you know, to Francis's point, I think it's, you know, Anthony Garnacho, I don't think it changes anything. We're just, today I watched Aston Villa, like we're talking about a second ago. And, you know, last week we were talking about this man doesn't have the players that he needs. But when you watch Aston Villa, they were playing out from the back today. Like, there was something that they were doing where Arsenal would press them, they would play out of the back, and they wouldn't just shoot it long, especially in the second half. The second half was where I paid more attention. You would see them retain possession. Like, the first 15 minutes of the second half, Aston Villa was dominating possession, even if they were not creating chances with it, even if they wasn't cutting it. But they would pass out from out the back. Arsenal would be pressing high, and these guys would be passing. And I'm looking at the defense like, okay, who is here?
United, like, is cost.
I didn't see that coming. Yeah, this team will give Messi up attention. Oh my goodness.
But well, yeah. Even like the Bournemouth game, like, they had a lot of chances. The thing that blows my mind away is, it's one thing for teams to have shots, just like they're shooting at, like, will. These are good chances.
Yeah.
Like, the goal that they scored, okay, the Sean and Kerr goal itself, it wasn't the easiest of the chances they had. Like, obviously, he still had to beat defender. That was a very good finish. But you see that shot from the wing, the second goal that Clivert scored.
Yeah.
Where that shot, they had at least four of those in the first half. Where the guy will shoot it, maybe he will shoot it one, he will, like, instead of Clivert was the only one that shot.
You are talking about the guy who, the guy who Clivert came in for when he got injured. That guy, I can't remember his name. There was this person that got injured. That guy tormented that low, man.
You know, but even if they don't shoot from there, they are crossing it into the middle of the box. Like, they hit the bar, like, all these things. Like, where is, like, these are excellent chances. It's not, and I think the thing that saves us, or has saved us so far, is against some of these teams, they just don't finish. Like, Bournemouth is Bournemouth
for last
month, right? And now that Liverpool draw of last week doesn't look so good when you factor in that Liverpool has now lost their next two games at home. 3-0 to Atalanta, 1-0 to Crystal Palace. So you look at that and start to think to yourself, like, okay, like, to Francis's point, we are just not a well-coached team. And then last but not least, the cherry on top, ETH comes out at the end of the game and is blaming Garnacho publicly. And I'm just like, what do you have to gain? If what Francis is saying is true about Anthony leaving, that's your guy that left. Now you're saying that Garnacho, that is another one of your guys in theory, you know, like somebody that you gave the opportunity to, somebody that, you know, is a young kid that is coming to the rank that has played well for you. You are going to talk shit about because what you want to discipline him, you want to. And then you see Garnacho is also liking a tweet by one of these United blog or United podcast where they are saying the same thing about, like,
what did ETH say about Garnacho?
I think he just blamed him for something, maybe the goal or, you know.
No, I think he just said the right side was not effective, that we're having issues on the right hand side. I don't think he specifically called Garnacho's name. I said we're not compact enough or something.
Yeah, but I think probably the question must have been, like, why did you sub Garnacho? So even if he doesn't call his name directly.
Yeah. I don't know what exactly it was.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
The fact that Garnacho is showing you that he's, like, not all is well by liking some of these tweets, to me, shows you that there's a problem. Whether the problem was
overt that like was said at a press conference or is maybe something behind the scenes. Even you see the frustration that Bruno is showing as well. Like, but again, all of it comes down to, in all of these games, you know that United is not going to show up the way, like, the way you think that they are. Like, every team is going to have a very good chance to beat us when they play us, because we just don't play like a well-coached team.
Psychologically, can these guys be fixed? Because I think they're all of each and every one of them are broken.
I don't know. I don't know about that, because this last season, would you say they were broken last season?
I think they've been more they've been for the past 5 years, they've been more broken than not. So last season doesn't give me any confidence that they are not broken anymore. I just take it as an off season. This season is the norm.
Yeah, but again, to me, it's like we start getting into this territory of is United cursed? Is, you know, when we go into those areas, and again, I understand why people
United is cursed.
I think again, you reap what you sow. These are the rewards of our management, the way that we've done things, right? And when I say management, I'm not just talking about ETH. I'm saying in general, this is what happens when you don't have the right people in place. Shout out to John Murta, who is finally leaving Manchester United after being hired and being here for the entirety of David Moyes' time up until now. You will not be missed. Thank you for your service. But, you know, it's like we've had some of these people in positions of power for a very long time. And it's just like, it's not a mistake that we get to this point. And so for me, I don't think that they are broken. I just think you need, I don't think the coaching, again, going back to what I said last week, I think you need a coach that will prioritize making the team better before you prioritize just getting the results. And for you to do that, you have to have a management team that will be patient with the coach, right? I think ETH has only prioritized getting results, and it's led to the degradation of the morale in the team, the lack of a style of play, all these things, because it's just the result. We're not getting results, and we're not playing well. And now he's in no man's land, and he just looks like he's in a fight for his life, you know?
I'll let you finish that thought, but like, I think there is some truth to what you're saying, but I also think, I don't think United is the kind of club where if you don't get the results, the fans are just going to be like, okay. I think it comes with the territory, right? So you say like, I don't think, and the reason why I say that is because I don't think, because this has been a cycle for the last 10 years. I don't think it teaches the first coach to prioritize winning over like getting the making the team better, right? Maybe Moyes was like the only official project that we kind of, and then we didn't even give him time to last. We brought in Mo was results. Even Solskjaer, to some extent, it became about results. So I don't think
it only becomes about results when there is the evidence of winning, right? When there is the evidence of winning, or when there is a lot of money being spent. So all this one I'm talking about results, there is the expectation that you will deliver based on certain things. So if you're Solskjaer, you spend 250 million, you get Ronaldo, you get Varane, you get Sancho, you get, you know, some of these players. Now the caliber of players you are getting is like, okay, based on this, we anticipate or we expect that you are going to win, right? And you already just came off a season of finishing second, right? Now with ETH, he finished second last season. This season, I think we would have forgiven him for a lot of sins if we saw a clear direction, because nobody talked about the results as much. Like this Bournemouth game, we talk about, we look like a team that is not well coached.
Yeah.
Visually, like when you watch a thing, you don't know what you are watching. And that's the thing that bothers me more than anything else. Like if we were not winning,
but we were consistent in the way that we're playing, and we can say, oh, okay, we know for sure that Harry Maguire cannot play the position the style needed, or Victor Lindelof, or whatever. Like, I don't want to use Harry because I'm not saying that he hasn't played well. But you get, like, you can pinpoint that, okay, this is where the problems are. This is what we need. This is who's underperforming. Now, there's nobody that you can look at and say is actually doing well. You know, like, everybody looks like they're underperforming. You know, so...
I guess the reason why I'm saying that, like, do you think the fans will ever get to the point where they will prioritize rebuilding over results?
Yeah, I think we've been there for the last 10 years. All we've done is prioritize building over results.
Not really, though. I think we say that, and then when we get into the games, we're like, oh, let's win. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, what's his name? I think the only person that Mo finished second. What was Solskjaer's highest? Like, was it second or third? I can't remember.
Second. Yeah.
So that's my point. Like, we've all these managers have all finished second at some point. But then the problem then occurs the next season after that. They've all lost their jobs the next season after that. So basically, are you saying that all those managers, we didn't have a discernible style of play with all those managers? I'm just saying, like, I don't think
right now. Did we?
Well, at least with Mo, we knew what we were looking for. Mo is a defensive coach. That didn't change.
But is that what we wanted?
Do we know what we want?
I think we knew what we wanted. Like, again, United has a history of playing in a certain style.
Yes. That's Fergie, right? Fergie downwards. Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying post-Fergie, I don't think we've had a defined... I guess that goes back to your point about management. Like, I guess my point is, like, I don't think the management, they've had, like, a clear focus on what they want. This is what I'm saying, like... Because if we did, then we'll be doing all this jumping rope with all these coaches that we know are clearly...
Management isn't even the problem. The problem is... Well, management was part of the problem, but it goes higher than management. Because somebody is the one hiring the manager, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have look at what's going on right now at United. We've hired three new positions. We've hired a new CEO. We've hired a technical director. We've hired a director of football. Who was in those positions previously?
Well, we didn't have director of football number one.
Yeah, we didn't have director of football. We didn't have technical director. There are people that are underneath these areas now that are also getting hired. So how is it that, like, these are standard roles within football organizations United doesn't have? John Murtagh came from, who even knows where he started? He started in as, like, a research person in David Moyes' position. But they wanted to centralize the power among people that don't understand football. And this is what you get, right? Like, you centralize the power amongst people that are coming from the corporate world. They only care about, oh, is our engagement high? Oh, are we selling? Are we doing sales? Oh, is TikTok moving? You know, versus, like, you look at City, or you look at Madrid, or you look at Liverpool. These are football people all their lives, right? Like, part of the reason why you talk about hiring a director of football is, when it's time to negotiate, even before other teams are getting in, your director is already, he has such a network in Europe that there are no secrets. If there's anybody that is moving, they're calling him and saying, fam, Barcelona is interested in this guy, blah, blah, blah. Or you have those relationships with the agents where you can call them and be like, yo, there's this kid I have, you guys need to see him. You know, by the time we get to the point where we are talking to these guys, we are just talking to them right before when interest has already brewed. And so now it's like they are going to quote you a ridiculous price because you were never part of the conversation. You know, so some of these relationships will even just be able to handle some of the problems that we have. But anyway, long story short, the managers that we've selected, we did not select on the basis of any criteria that made sense other than maybe ETH. A lot of it was Ole was our caretaker manager when Mourinho left, and Ole brought Harmony into the dressing room. Nobody asked about his qualifications. If you remember, at the time when Ole got hired, I kept saying, this would never happen in any other organization in the world where a company as big as United would give their operations to a man that has not proven that he can do this at any level. He was at Cardiff and got fired. You gave him because he had a good relationship with Ed Woodward, and he was able to stabilize the dressing room after Mourinho left. You look at
it was Mourinho, that and the Champions League run. Remember, we had a good Champions League run then after he came in.
What was the good Champions League run? We beat.
No, PSG. We won a couple of that PSG game. Was it not right after that PSG game? It got his extension.
Yeah, that was it. We had an unbeaten run in the league. Remember, yeah. It was like 11 games or 10 games unbeaten when Ole came in. As soon as he came in and he got the job, he started losing.
Yep, soon I remember.
So for me, it's just like, I don't know. I just, like, Mourinho said a lot of the things that Mourinho and Louis van Gaal were saying, were they wrong? You know, like, their fault.
But we weren't in the position to listen at that point in time because we were still thinking. Yes. Yeah.
But now our eyes have opened now. So I think United fans, like, and that's where, for me, it's unforgiving for ETH. Because after everything that happened, when ETH came, everybody was willing to give this guy time. I don't feel like, even now, some United fans will still say, give him time. Give him a year under a new system. So his own metric for failure was never just about winning or losing. It was always about, why were we excited about ETH? The style of play that he brought with him when he was in Holland. There's a style of play that you need to be able to win. It doesn't mean that it's like Pep Guardiola's, but it needs to be technical enough to be able to deal with all the other teams that you're going to play against in Europe. Our current style of play, whatever the fuck it is, even when we get better players, isn't going to be better.
Yeah, I guess Francis, what do you think the solution is right now? Just be patient with Ineos and see what they do.
Everybody in the club needs to give their life to Christ. And then one step at a time, give your life to Christ first. Once you give it to him, everything else will be under control. Plus, they said the homeboy, number 6, that used to play for United before, they said his brother told said that he buried something in the club. So give your life to Christ, find out what was buried, remove it. And then,
what's his name? Sorry, I don't, I'm actually not sure who you're talking about.
Number 6 now, from France.
Ooh.
You don't know him?
Does he not have a name?
He's always cutting hair and doing hairstyles. If you don't know him, then forget about him.
I don't know why we got to the point where we couldn't stay named.
Yeah, do you know his name?
Do you know his name?
I don't know his name.
This was your leader at some point. Francis, one day we'll table your matter. We'll table your matter because table, you are
doing that for France. Yeah, nigga, I'm drinking this shit.
No, Didi. You are not.
Your niggas are pawns.
Yeah, gonna. You are embattled. You are trying to recreate your image after you've gone through some tough times when they accused you of snitching on your leader.
Yeah.
You know?
So, Jibo, to answer your question, sorry. Ineos need to get to work, man. First of all, like, we need to sign or get that sporting director on board, technical director, and just start. Like, they need to be very ruthless in this change. Like, there's not this one is not a case of let's give it a little bit of time and see how things will pan out. No, everyone needs to be firing on all cylinders and driving in the same direction for this to work, because I think that club, psychologically, a lot of people are damaged and they need to be fixed. I don't know if it's just the going to the market and buy 3-4 players and we say this is going to be fixed. Probably not. I think the next coach that comes in will probably struggle again. You know, like if all your issues are similar or, you know, linear across the years, it's always going to be there if you don't fix it. I don't even know what the main issue is, right? But I think Larry has said it before. Every team that plays against us, they have their best performance against United. Every single team, even if it's Sheffield United that can't score a goal to save their lives, they play against United and they have their highest amount of shots ever. So I'm not sure what it is, because it just can't be a player issue or something. But I don't know, man. United is our pod for the past 4-5 months has been the same story. Same shit. If I explain the goal, it is nobody, the midfielder was not tracking the runner. They got into the box, passed back, and they scored. If we're talking about system, our midfield is open. If we're talking about ETH, he can't pick his style. And so it's been the same thing. It gets tiring, you know? So
I guess I wonder, like, what does he see when he watches tape of this team? I always wonder, like,
ETH2 is broken. I think he is. Like, when you hear him talk.
No, it's he is.
He stormed out. He stormed out of the press conference. Yes, yeah.
No, he didn't storm out. He didn't storm out. Ah, man, that's a rumor starts. He was about to leave the conference. Then somebody came, asked a last question when the conference was already done. So he quickly he didn't fully stand up, but he adjusted it back on his seat and allowed the person the chance to ask the question. Once the question came out and it was nonsense, he stood up and left. So it's not like the press conference was still on and then he left. No.
Yeah, but don't they have people who look at people who are asking questions and say one last question? Isn't that the way it works?
Yeah, but you can use your discretion and answer a question or not, right? Like, if somebody's asking you something, you can decide to answer.
So, in knowing how things work, do you think that is going to be looked at as something that is in its favor? Like, the way that he handled that situation, do you think that was... he was unaware that wasn't going to look good for him?
I don't think ETH is... I don't think ETH cares about...
He definitely cares, because as a manager...
Are you listening to what ETH says nowadays? I don't think he's socially aware of what's going on. Because if he's aware, he won't be making some of these stupid statements he's making.
What else can he say? From your perspective,
call out the players.
He can't call out the players.
Why can't he?
Because he's already struggling with the players.
So, what's the worst that will happen? We would go to 14th.
He's fired. He's trying to save his job. That, to me, that's clear. Would you agree or would you disagree?
There's nothing left in his job for him to save. So
he's still talking like a man that is going to be there next season. When he talks at the press conferences, I don't know if you've heard him recently, he talks about next season.
I think he's going to be there next season.
I have a question for you. If you're in us right now and you knew ETH was not part of your plans, would you tell him but not fire him?
No, you wouldn't tell him. There's no way you tell him.
Why?
Because
it affects performance.
But the performance is not good anyways.
Yeah, it's the same thing, though. Like, if you know that, like, there's a massive layoff coming and you know people are going to be, you don't tell them because people are going to down tools.
Yeah, it's going to down tools, man. It's already hard enough as it is. if he stops, if he starts like caring less, do you want to see what that looks like? That could easily, this is not best case scenario, what we're saying right now. I mean, it's close to it, you know, but I wouldn't tell him. There's no way. There's no way. And to be honest, like, I don't feel like, I feel like they're assessing things, right? I think their preference would be to keep him in position. Liverpool, how can you miss so many chances?
So, that John,
I think
John,
their preference is to keep him in position. Even if they will replace him eventually, I think they would.
Yeah, I think it's going to be at least minimum. I think he's going to be there till end of next season.
But I think his position is becoming more and more difficult. Like, I think it's getting harder for them to justify keeping him. Like, if we lose to Coventry, which is not impossible. In fact, that Coventry game, if I'm being honest, it worries me a lot. Right? If we lose to Coventry.
Coventry.
Bro.
Guys, well, you know, let me find out for a reason.
Coventry, okay. They played Wolves, man, because Wolves were leading in that game and they came back and scored 2 goals in like in
they
how many minutes?
Wolves at Wolverhampton. They were not at home. They were away.
Yeah, I take and that back. Yeah, you have a point.
Struggled with Newport. Is it Newport or North County? One of them teams. We struggled with that team. Which team have we beaten convincingly? Like, what was the last time that we beat a team convincingly where you were like
Liverpool? Oh,
convincingly.
Yo, Liverpool, they are bitches, bro.
Crystal Palace beat Liverpool today, man. Did you see the Crystal Palace goal by any chance? Did any of you catch
that? No, I haven't seen the
highlights. I told Roger like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, that yo, after they played us, like we took their powers. They are going downhill from here.
They're done. But if you get the chance, just go and watch the Crystal Palace goal. There's nothing crazy about it. It's not like a goal, you know, that you've never seen in your life or anything. The thing that I want you to watch when you see the Crystal Palace goal, just ask yourself, can United score this goal? It's maybe 5 passes. Ask yourself, the last time you've seen us successfully string 5 passes from back to front or from midfield to front, where it's like free-flowing 5-6 passes. We cannot string 4 passes together without fucking it up somewhere or without going backward. Like, four, everybody connect the dots here, moving, line. We just technically, it's so hard. Like, anyway, sorry, I digress. Yeah, I think they want to keep ETH though. I just don't know that he's making it easy for them.
Yeah, I agree with you there, but. Anyways, I don't think there's anything else we can cover from the Bournemouth game.
Nah, I think we're good.
Like you said, our next game is next week Sunday in the Cup against Coventry, and we'll see how that goes. We'll bring you a post-up or a pre-pod before then to talk about it. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap this pod up?
Man,
I guess you keep it to yourself.
Sorry,
Francis, what were you going to say? We haven't gone to that part yet, El Maestro. I'm like, you're jumping the gun.
Yo, Metro Boomin, go make some beats. I can't remember what I had to say. I just had to keep it to yourself from the man, Larry is a fucking character. Damn.
Anyways, thank you all for listening. Please give us a follow on socials at What We Fergie Do on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Also, rate and review us. You can now do that on Spotify. 5 stars only. Anything less?
No, that's true.
Nobody wants to talk. Ah!
Agba. Keep it to yourself, man. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah, I know the vibe.
Hey, Jesus. Oh, well, tears they come up my eye. I'm like, I say I want to have a question. This guy just said, keep it to yourself in the background.
Oh, my. Larry, don't kill me for you. Jesus.